All right, glad you're with us. Thank you, Scott Shannon. Toll free, it's 800-941. Sean, you want to be a part of this extravaganza? You cannot believe the mishmash that is Joe Biden. Day, 75 now of him hiding in his basement with only a 10-minute reprieve. And another disastrous, what do you want to call it, a performance? Obviously, no fastball, no curveball, nothing. We'll get to that in the course of the show. We got a lot of updates with the deep state today. News we made, nobody paid attention to. Apparently, unmasking at a spectacular level now has become part of John Durham's investigation. They have also appointed another federal prosecutor. The DOJ is also going to be weighing in with this three-judge panel as it relates to Judge Emmett Sullivan's, you know, unbelievable, in my view, misconduct in this particular case by not dropping the case and then literally inviting every group in the world that has a political agenda to weigh into this. So we'll hit that today as well. There are a lot of things angering me today. One, the more I see this interview, this video, of what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd, I'm almost borderline apoplectic about it. It infuriates me for a lot of different reasons. Now, I'm going to be consistent because I always am. And that is, okay, we don't rush to judgment. We believe in due process. We believe in the presumption of innocence. But with that said, our eyes show us so much wrong here. It makes my blood boil. Number one, we saw no evidence whatsoever of George Floyd resisting in any way. And let me lay as a foundation. We're talking about the crime they're looking into here is about a possible counterfeit $20 bill. That's just some context to this here. Now, do I think crime should be punished? Yes. Arrest made? Yes. Phone calls made to the cops? Okay. Dan Bongino said it best on TV last night. Once you have somebody that is not resisting in handcuffs, it's over. The fight is over. That's number one. I have spoken a lot about my 7 years now in a row training mixed martial arts. It's an eclectic blend of arts. It is Krav Maga, Kempo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, situational street fighting. We do blades, sticks, firearms, a lot of training. A lot of training, a lot of what happens if this happens, if that happens. And, you know, I'm not into like posting everything that I do on social media because I don't think people give a rip anyway. And I think a lot of it is based in vanity. But I do it for two reasons. Number one, it's a hard workout, great workout. I like to be able to defend myself and have an alternative. When you train, and as I have gotten deeper and deeper into the arts, it didn't take long to figure out there are certain very specific strike areas if your life is being threatened. The most vulnerable part of a human being is their neck. It's just a fact. It's well known. And so we don't see George Floyd resisting arrest. Then we are watching as the minutes tick by. The police officer in this case, and again, I don't even see that anybody, I've not heard anybody say anything contrary. Even all my law enforcement friends, Bernie Kerik last night, Dan Bongino last night, so many others contacting me, they cannot believe what they witnessed here. Because what you have is the officer taking his knee. And if you watch, as we pointed out last night, the right foot of the officer, all the weight is on that left knee. Right into the neck of Mr. Floyd, which is, and his head into the pavement. Now, it went on, we never got the exact time, it's somewhere, but it went on at least 6 minutes, maybe as high as eight. I keep reading conflicting reports. We weren't even able to totally confirm that. And his arms are behind his back. And he keeps saying over and over again as that there's a huge amount of pressure on this man's neck. when he was saying he can't breathe, he couldn't breathe. I can tell you, I actually trained this morning and had long discussions with my sensei, this sensei Glenn. He's been on the program before, great guy. And, you know, there are targeted strikes. For example, if somebody has any knowledge of martial arts, a lot of, you know, how you defend yourself. I'll walk away. You can call me any name in the book. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk away backwards looking at you until and defuse any situation because I don't want to use what I've learned because it's that dangerous. And you have to be careful. But if you take one strike, targeted strike, to the carotid, and you can go online and Google it, there's videos out there of this happening. If you do it, then you'll see a person literally, if it's a good strike, they're going to drop to their knees. They're going to drop right down. I was watching one of the videos this morning. Not only did the guy, it was a really well-trained artist. The strike was perfect. It was one strike, fight was over. The guy literally nailed his carotid. The guy went down. When the guy got up to try and start walking again, fell down again, then fell down a third time. Because what it does is for that brief second of that strike, it cuts off all the blood circulation going to one's brain. There are trach holds that are banned by pretty much every police department. You have choke holds that are banned now by most police departments because they recognize the severity of that kind of treatment. It is such an egregious error in judgment. And what's flabbergasting to me is it was full on to me. And again, my eyes aren't deceiving me. This is a human being. He's down there. So I can't breathe. If you know anything, I can't believe that this officer did not understand the severity of this because it was full on hardcore pressure and literally pinning this guy's head to the pavement. In all honesty, if you, for example, if I did, an arm drag into a chokehold and I got my arm in solid around your neck and I applied pressure, as I've been trained to do, and that pressure would go on carotid arteries on both sides, you would pass out in 15 seconds. Now, I did it today with my sensei. I've been feeling good all day as a result. I said, all right, put me in a hold. I think I made 9 seconds and I tapped out because I was going to pass out. 9 seconds. 15 seconds, maybe 20. If you really have a tight hold, you're done. And in that sense, I'm watching this. What the hell are they doing? And the other cops are there, and this is inexplicable to me. They're just standing there. And this goes on and on and on. And for 6 solid minutes, the guy's he's not resisting, begging to get up. When you have an apprehension, Dan Bongino's right. Guy's not resisting, got him cuffed. You put him in the back of the car. You know, you sort it out at the station in the terms of, okay, you're being charged with this. He's probably going to get a citation and walk out. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. And it's very frustrating from the standpoint is it's sort of like, you know, the shock of when Joe DiGenova said on TV one night, you know, about Comey and others, they're dirty cops. I flinched. I'm like, because my mom was a prison guard. My, you know, she's kind of a, you know, short woman, you know, elderly, you know, she's in a prison all day. And so at times you have to deal with prisoners, but they have very specific techniques. You've got to protect people as well. And in this case, there was never 1 second of need for this. 6 minutes, it then becomes, there's no surprise if you understand anything about the sensitivity of the neck, why this guy died. And if that cop maybe somehow lost perspective in the moment, somebody else should have stepped in and said, get him in the car now. Get your foot off his neck. He's not doing anything. And it frustrates me because then the, you know, then we have the predictable all cops are bad. They're not bad people. The 99% of them. But there's 1% that would use force such as this. They give every cop a bad name. And we have to be careful that we don't rush to judgment and think all cops are this way. Most cops, you know, look, being a cop's not an easy job. There's never going to be an arrest usually where a cop is using any type of force and putting you in handcuffs. And if somebody's resisting, it's going to look that much worse. But cops don't know when they pull people over if they have a gun. Cops don't know if you have drugs in the car. You know, you don't know at any given moment. You really, really, really need to be in charge and safe. And you have to balance all of this. And if once, but the rule is the rule. Once a person is in your control and not resisting, it's over. And the fact that this was allowed to go on, and the fact that it happened in the first place, I see no rationale whatsoever that I could manufacture as somebody that always wants to give people the benefit of the doubt. Because sometimes there's circumstances you don't know. I don't believe in trial by videotape. I believe these guys have a right to a fair trial. The tape to me, though, is devastating. And I watch it and I get angrier every time I do. Because, listen, if you do a poke of somebody's trach, if you're trained, you know where your trach is, you feel just below your Adam's apple. There's like this little space there. You go in, you hit that, just poke at it, and you target it and you hit it. They're going to go down. If you put somebody in a choke hold, a trach hold, the odds of death are high. You know, you're going to hurt that person. There might be situations people need to use that, but that's not your first option. That's one of your last options.
And, you know, Sean, it's something that we were talking about a little bit before, which is that, you know, the whole situation here, everyone who's seen the tape is just as outraged. You know, this should be a moment of being of solidarity, of everybody saying this was wrong, but this is not every cop. And we need to focus on the fact that this guy was turning his life around and it was taken wrong.
Yeah, apparently he's becoming a very Christian man, turning his life around.
But others are using it for divisiveness, and that's not okay. That's not what this is about.
Well,
and
I mean, there's a whole other component to this. You're right. I mean, you know, what did we watch too? We watched, okay, a Target store looted, a liquor store looted, fires, AutoZone. The police chief, Arredondo, you know, he's saying they didn't have a police presence because they didn't feel that they could handle it. Well, we got to get them the help to handle it. Al Sharpton is now headed there. It is so sad to me that life is precious. You know, the president, when he says we're one glorious nation under God, we're one united American family, he's right. We are. And I, as a Christian, I don't talk a lot about my faith. I don't think people want me to proselytize. But as a Christian, we all are created in God's image. All of us are created in, that's a life with that knee on the neck, and that life is now gone. And it didn't have to happen. It's sad. Words cannot describe how I feel today. I'm so angry from a lot of different angles. You know, I know we're going to say, I pray for this guy's family. The sister actually came out and she said, literally, they murdered my brother. And the family saw it.
But the girlfriend came out and said, but the looters and the rioters do not speak for him. He would not want this. It's not okay.
And the brother, I think, said that, you know, he wants the death penalty. It's so unfortunate. Look, I believe in peaceful protesting. Don't go looting stores, putting stores on fire. We have enough trouble with the economy, jobs lost, and it won't do any good. And the people that are the leaders, you've got to be leaders now. Protest all you want. You know, right? You have a right and a righteous anger here. But that part of it has to not happen for everybody's sake. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue.